Anything. Yeah.
Good call.
Okay.
I love this.
Not live and on the fabulous Sunset Strip, Catty Corner to the Sunset Girl, the world famous Sunset Girl made famous by Don Henley. It's the Bob Dean Show.
Yeah.
I want to welcome my good friend and fellow comic, Jacqueline Marfuji.
Yay.
Dennis Olson is here, along with Sammy and Joe. And of course, Kathy St. George is friggin' late again.
Rude.
But she's a doll. We love her. So we're going to let it go. We're going to start off today. Let's see. No dates for me coming up. Everything's good. I am happy, 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 proud to say that we are at 8,400 subscribers. But not nearly as many as Jacqueline has. Congratulations to you. We're going to get... Seriously. I think it's wonderful. And we're going to get into all that in a little bit here. On the 26th Friday, Jacqueline and I, along with some other great comics, are going to be performing at the Veterans Administration campus in what is called the Slam Down. And it is a festival of a giant street fair. And we're going to get into a little bit more detail about that. And we're going to call Sunda Kronqvist, who many of you know, owns the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood. And it's the best comedy class in town, best comedy school in town. But Sunda is coordinating the comics for the show. So I'm going to dial her up right now.
Yes. Sunda's from Jersey, too,
yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah, she's in Pattison.
Oh, wow. She's more Jersey than I am.
She's
like, I'm from Princeton.
Oh, there's a qualifying
She is hardcore.
Oh, she's goals. Like, I grew up just wanting to be a Real Housewife of New Jersey. And I feel like she's better than that. She's just a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills without having to deal with all the drama.
That's what sets her riot about her act, too, is that she talks about being a Swedish Persian. Oh, wait, I can't hear her. Can you hear?
Push it down all the way.
There it is. Two ringy dingy. Hello?
I'm so excited.
Are you there?
I'm here, darling.
Yes. Welcome to the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
This is Sue.
Hey,
thank
Bob
you.
Dean is just my lover.
Well, you wish I was your lover.
I know it.
Listen, you know, I plug the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard every show, you know.
Well, I'm so glad, and they're just keep knocking this door down, Bob.
Well, because it's – and before I forget, I want to say thank you to Zach Herndon, too, in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach, yay.
Hey, Zach.
But
hey, Zach.
I have Jacqueline Marfuji here today. She is a Jersey comic, too.
What up, Sunda?
Hey, how you doing? My cook, you got an Italian over there? Where'd you find her?
I know, right? Italiano.
Well, I think you guys know each other. I know she's been to see the shows before.
Yes, I have. I used to work at the Laugh Factory when you would host the show. Well, you still host shows
there.
It? Yeah, I met you probably 10 years ago, and now I actually do stand up, so it's a thing.
Was I pregnant then? I was always pregnant at the Laugh Factory.
I was always trying to get pregnant at the Laugh Factory, so we have a lot in common.
Turned to a joke?
Yeah.
I talked to Mike Marino this morning, and Jacqueline knows Mike Marino as well.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said I want to do a Jersey comic show.
Yeah, Mike Marino's definitely a talent to be dealt with. He's fantastic. He came on our show the other night.
I know. That was, and it was funny today on the phone. He goes, I didn't even know. He said, Sunda just said, get up there. And he was a riot, and he's a real nice fella.
He's a really nice fella. And I have to tell you, the other Italian guy who's selling out Madison Square Garden is Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know him?
Well,
I can't
tell you. I mean, selling out. Now that he married a Jewish girl, he knows the pain of starving, waiting for food to be over. And his...
I'm losing you. Are you there?
I'm here. I never get lost. You could try.
But you were saying about... I lost you at Jewish...
I was saying Sebastian is married to a Jewish woman.
Right.
So you can imagine, I mean, to hear an Italian talk about the experiences of going somewhere starving and having to read a book first is hysterical.
Yes.
You know, and we have a lot of Italian vets that are going on. Tell them what's going on with our Slam Down. You were there last year,
That's
Bob.
What, exactly. That's what we're just getting ready to start talking about. Jacqueline's going to be performing with us this year. You're coordinating the comedy guests. And the Slam Down is, and I'm going to read, because Rima Simon, And Michael Johnson are the coordinators of this event, and they, unfortunately, through bureaucratic red tape, are not allowed to appear on the Bob Dean Show. Yeah. Well, you know what's in it?
It's a,
The VA wanted to send a representative over, and this was the same thing last year. They wouldn't let the two people that do all the hard work come on the show. So Rima has sent me some information about the slam down and that. So, I mean, just some stuff to read, because we know that it's like I was just telling Jacqueline, it's like a giant street fair. Mm-hmm. But and we get up underneath a comedic tent, which I hope will face the courtyard this year. Where but it was a huge success last year.
Can anyone come, or is it
success? It was really see so many people and diverse, and it was so much diversity right there in the audience as well as on the stage.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was what's so neat. There were comics of all ages and backgrounds, and the public is welcome.
Okay.
Yes, and what it is, though, is that this is something I didn't realize, and I'm going to read directly from Rima's email. The stand down is a term that was adopted from military service where soldiers would gather around following a combat episode to bury the dead, heal the sick, stand down to recover, take a breath and recharge, and find strength in one another and proceed. Which is, we're happy to be part of something like that, because damn, there's a lot of homeless vets and there don't need to be.
We're going to get around and start throwing comics in the grate. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
Now, I want to give kudos to Michael Johnson. Mr. Johnson is a gentleman. You met, remember, Michael?
He's
fantastic. And, well, actually, they come to our shows, too. They were at the last one on October the 1st. And Mr. Johnson, hi, Michael, has been the architect of the VA stand down for the past 8 years throughout Southern California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he weaves together hundreds of details. And the time that it takes to get this event together. And Miss Rima Simon, who is just cool as a cucumber, she is a licensed clinical social worker, which is an LCSW. I did not know that. Did you know that?
I learned something new.
And she has been working with homeless veterans in transitional housing for the past 8 years. And before that, she was a producer in film and television.
And
the healing power. She believes in the healing power of comedy, in line with the Bob Hope thought. To, you know, the troops back in the day, and this is going to help it out. And we're just proud to be part of it. So that is Friday, October the 26th. Mm. Cinda.
I am so excited. I was just drinking something cold that hit my tooth and just out of me, okay? Because I'm having dental work.
Yeah, me too. I had a cavity and then the root canal.
It's the worst. I have to go in for that.
Ugh, God, sucks. And you know what here hurts even more is the damn bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Lee Shirilla would tell you that's the trauma center. But.
That's when you get the bill.
Shirilla has her teeth. There's nothing like the feeling of ice on an open friggin' root. You know what I mean? You just fall down in front of people and they're like, are you okay? And then Bob, I just want to commend you on doing such a great job to help out so many of these comedians who are just starting out, and then giving the veteran comics a chance to be relaxed and be on your show and repose and refrain from being tense and just having a great time with you. And it's such a wonderful thing that you do.
Thanks a lot, Cindy. Well, as I said, you are the one I call you my muse, but you're the one that rode my ass to do this. You did. And we started off at your studio, the LA School of Comedy, at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard. Kathy St. George is here now, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in, Kathy.
Just thank you for kicking Bob in the butt soon, though.
Kathy just joined us, and we're talking with Cindy Crean-Quist, who you've seen perform many times. Now, okay, we'll get to you in a minute. Thanks for showing up.
Hi there.
Okay, so anyway, but you're the one that got me into this in the first place. Thank you very much for kicking my butt. And we're going to listen in a little bit here. We're going to talk about Jacqueline's podcast, and she's doing very, very well with it. But thanks to you. Yeah, I'm doing this. And that's what's cool that I like about the show is that we just have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Bob, it's hysterical. Every time, you never know what Bob Dean's going to say, because whatever he does and when we meet in our privacy here, he never does on stage. And then, unfortunately, people watch him and say, that's so easy, I'm going to do it, and they bomb.
Well, I bombed. I was talking to Mike Marino this morning. He's going to be around this weekend. He's doing the Ha Ha Club. And I was like, that's the last place that I bombed big time.
Oh, it wasn't bombing at all. You'll know when you bomb when people say, get off the stage.
Well, yeah, I pretty much bombed then. Yeah, get the hook. Well, honey, we're going to let you go now. We're just going to get into talking about some things here, but I wanted to let everybody know that you are a big part of this stand down at the VA.
Yeah.
And if any of you can, in any way, shape, or form, support our veterans. If you find a funny vet, let us know. And we will see you all at the Laugh Factory. You can always follow me here at LAschoolofComedy.com, SundayLive.com. And remember, Bob Dean is the only surly bartender guaranteed to make you laugh. And thank you for having me as a guest.
Or cry.
Love you, Sunda, very, very much. I'll see you this week, okay?
Here you go. Round of applause.
Yeah. Love you. Bye,
Sunda.
I remember her.
She's
like
the
her.
Friggin' best, man. Yeah, I don't even know if I'm still talking to her or not. Yeah, I guess I am. Sunda is the friggin' best. She is my comedy muse.
I know.
She doesn't like to be called, what do you call it?
I have her cookbook.
Oh, yeah. Kosher Soul, y'all.
She has a cookbook?
She has a cookbook, Kosher Soul. It's great. And you can see, and she's been on so many talk shows, and she's hilarious when she's talking about the latkes. She's like, there's only so many things you can do with latkes. So, you know, but yes, it's Kosher Soul. It's a great cookbook.
She was talking about Sebastian Maniscalco. Are you familiar with him?
Somewhat.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say it because she's probably good friends with him. We dated right before his wife, now wife. I was his good luck Chuck, is what I'm saying. Basically. Yeah.
Is that the one that's so big now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you date him here in LA?
I did a pilot with him, but I guess it didn't.
Was it the one with Tony Danza?
Yeah, Tony. Yeah. Did it. Yeah.
So. Oh, was that him in the show that didn't make it? The one that was just out, right?
Yeah, it didn't go. No, that's a different one.
No, he's
yeah. That this one was a comedy one. I think it was about Sebastian's family, and it just was. Never made it to
and
air.
It looked like it was going to be so cute.
Yes, I don't know why. Both of them are so lovely, and he's killing it right now. It's great, but yeah.
Well,
I'm going
to
date her.
Now, I want to officially introduce you guys. This is Kathy St. George, Jacqueline Marfuji.
Hi. We God, you're pretty.
She was a Miss August of 1983.
What?
He always says that, but it was 82.
82, yeah.
But that's okay, so I'm going to make it 92.
92. There you go.
My best friend Keith Garson, who lives in Nashville, and he's a very handsome man. He's got a beautiful wife and a beautiful family.
Yeah.
But when I first mentioned her name, because you know he's been a calling guest before.
Yeah.
But he goes, oh, the beautiful Kathy St. George, and I'm like, you know her? And he goes, well, remember? Because I've forgotten. I've had every issue of Playboy for years and years and years. Oh. I've mentioned your name to so many of my buddies, and they're like, oh. The beautiful Kathy St. George.
Look at you.
I've hung in a lot of lockers in high school.
But she's also a riot, too. That's the best part about it.
I just found a Playboy with me on the cover from 1991, but it's my cover from 81. But I found it's a Hungarian issue, so I bought them. And I made the guy go to Austria to mail it because it was cheaper. That's how
tough. Wow.
So it took that many years to get
But I'm on, and Madonna's in it, and it's a whole different magazine.
I want to see this.
So it's kind of, I'll bring it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Perfect.
I bought it today.
Damn.
In your rush to get here.
Well,
wait,
really
you
did.
Said you
do
couldn't
you know
find
I've
your car?
Early. Ask her. Ask her, Sammy.
What happened?
Well, considering you get paid nothing, I can't really bitch at you.
Really?
So all I could do is say thank you because you are a huge part of the show.
Just when you don't yell at me, is payment enough?
Oh, yell back.
But she's going to get me.
These two. Joe's the one that, he's got the TikTok eye.
I know.
He's got the eyebrow that goes, really we really need to get started.
I don't know.
He's like, let's go.
But so what did you lost your car?
I couldn't remember where I parked it, and I normally don't park it on the second. I have to park in a public parking garage because I live downtown, sort of.
Oh. What building are you in?
Tell us your address.
I can't say what building I am.
Oh, she lives in a real nice place.
I live in a really old 1929 building down in Koreatown. Yeah. But I never park in the second floor of the parking garage because they get. There's you'll find them with no tires and stuff, so I never parked there, but I guess I did the other night. I don't know.
You're an angel for
driving drunk or something.
You're an angel for driving from downtown to come here.
Well, absolutely.
Look at that. Wait, is your
normally it's better. Today was not so great.
It was not so good.
And coming from Santa Monica, it was a breeze today.
I have to say
change.
I passed a lot of Asians and I'm kidding.
Whoa.
It's not true, actually.
That's not a nice, not nice to say.
Hey, I was married to one, so I loved him. Yeah, I was like, I'm the last person to talk.
Well, I said this at work the other day to my Asian friend. I go, does everybody in China and in Japan, you think, stand around going, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, ha, ha, ha?
No, they sit there and invent fabulous things. Did anybody get that? Big.
Did anybody get my joke?
Yeah, I did.
We got it.
You know how, listen, this is not, this is not a racist joke or whatever. I'm just saying that, remember when we were little, people go like this, you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Bob's playing with his eyes right now. It's just slanting him.
But did you ever wonder if they make fun of us? Which by making their eyes round and going, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie.
Actually, that was one of the only countries that gave me a cover. It was Japan. They gave me a close-up headshot on the cover. And a lot of
I need to see all of these.
I love them.
Well, my brother Greg.
Backwards.
My brother Greg is an international businessman, and the company he works for is opening up stores all throughout Asia.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The beauty is overwhelming. And what was it? Remember when he did the call-in and he referred to, we were talking about Vietnam, he's like, Vietnam is this beautiful country, and then Cambodia, which is attached underneath, is, you know, kind of like not the best. Look at Sammy over there. It's so cool.
It's beautiful, though.
But I said, beautiful. Oh, sort of like you and me. You're the beautiful Vietnam, and I'm the ugly stepbrother, Cambodia.
Cambodia is supposed to be a beautiful country. And my hairdresser, God love him, worked every day, Monday through Sunday, every day. And then he retired at the age of 50 and moved back to Cambodia and has a mansion and got married and everything and doesn't have to work anymore.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Same thing in Mexico, too.
I know, right?
I'm going to be moving to Mexico pretty soon.
Well, when I went to Ensenada, no, I'm sorry, but now I understand why so many people from Mexico want to come to the United States.
What happened in Ensenada? I feel like there's a story there.
Well, we took a car, my friend Hans. There was like 12 of us, and Hans foot the bill. We were all friends from Miami Beach, but from all over the country. We got together. We spent the first night on the Queen Mary, and then we did one of those four-day carnival cruises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun, except every kid on that boat was so fat.
On the carnival cruises?
All the little kids were just
fat. I have to say that cruise lines have old people and people that love
well, it's unlimited food, right?
Yeah, but these kids were fat before they got on the ship. Well, and it's that whole thing about the country
it's
in their being
lane. It's called supersizing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right? But anyway, we got to Ensenada, and it was I don't know.
All the little kids
that walked around, they were like Stepford children with the beads and all that, and they were just walking around like this.
You can't make eye contact.
No,
that's how it was in Egypt. There was literally babies that were trying to like get money off of me.
Wow.
And our tour guide was like, you cannot look anyone in the eye because it gives them permission to beg from you. Babies.
I don't even know how to get a deal in Mexico. That's how bad I am. I can't even.
That's pre-kindergarten.
Yeah, it was just like, I shouldn't be.
Just give them more.
But Ensenada was just a drag. And we went to this, and then I want to get to you.
I like Ensenada.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, then I must have missed the good part.
Well, I only
because we went to the blowhole. Did you know what the blowhole is? It's in, no jokes, everybody. It's a natural formation in the ocean that was so beautiful.
Oh, I love that.
And it was like, it's like, you know, like a you know, I don't remember what it was. But an underground thing that sprayed, you know,
it's
blah,
a
blah,
geyser.
Blah.
Like a geyser.
A geyser, yeah.
Geyser.
And it was just gorgeous, the rocky coastline and everything. And it was really sad because you could see that at some point, maybe in the 60s or 70s, they had built what would have been a modern tourism, you know, welcoming station and all that. And it was all just boarded up and rotten and stuff. Oh, and my favorite part was how in the little van that you take from the ship to the tourist attraction, the woman's like, now remember, this is exactly what she said. She goes, take advantage of the cheap liquor prices, and the public restrooms are very well kept, so you're encouraged to tip the attendant like a quarter or something, you know, something to that effect.
Okay.
Well, the bathrooms didn't even have doors on them, and the guy was asleep. I was like, this is nasty. And then they confiscated.
I'd love to get paid to nap.
They confiscated all the booze going back on the ship. It was such a racket.
Oh yeah,
no.
And it looked like a liquor store because I didn't buy any booze. They're like take advantage of the cheap liquor prices. And so people are buying stuff, and then as they, you know, customs is right there, and they literally had it stacked up like Cuervo, Tanqueray. I mean, it was all
terrible.
Lined up. Yeah,
That's
that
terrible.
Makes me so angry.
Yeah,
that's why you
know.
That's why you buy a wine bra right and you fill it up in there first.
A wine bra.
And you just look like you have man breasts.
Yes, I need to start doing that.
All right, Jacqueline, I want to hear.
That's
now,
so cool.
You toured overseas,
I
entertaining
did.
Our troops last year.
Yes.
Will you please tell us all about it? How did you get involved in that? What countries did you visit? And what was your whole take on the thing?
Because it was
all
really
proud
cool.
of you for jumping in there. Thank you.
Thank y'all. It's a really cool experience. If any comedians can get on board with that, I definitely recommend it. Because when I found out, it was really scary. It was 2 years ago. But it was 2 years ago, and we found out. I had a friend who had done it before me, but she went to, like, England and Germany,
better.
And I think they went to, like, Italy. And, like, they just went to a lot of cool places, and they were on tour buses. They didn't have to fly to every show, and it just sounded
with
like...
With a bulletproof vest.
Yeah. We should have been in that. But it just sounded so, like, cool. Like, you were on, like, almost famous. Like, a tour bus. My tour, we found out, we were going to Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, like Spain was good.
Hot places.
Yeah, just really, like super chill.
You can't touch anybody, you wear a turtleneck.
Pretty much. And it was right when there was either like a plane that disappeared in Egypt. It was, there was a shooting at the Turkey, like the airport we were going into. Like it was just like one thing after another right before I left to the point where I was like, fuck it, I'm going. And if this is my time, this is my time. I don't care. And we were at a family wedding the night before I was leaving. I literally left the hotel and went straight to the airport. And my brother pulled me outside. My brother is a professional soccer player. Like, he's a guy's guy. And he pulled me outside crying. And he was like, don't go to Egypt. You're gonna get killed. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm going.
You're a very brave young woman.
And thank you. And I... It was cool. The guy who picked me up in my lift to take me to the airport, he said he was an empath and kind of a psychic, and he was this older gentleman that was Turkish.
Oh, I love that.
He was from Turkey.
Oh, no kidding.
And he dropped me off, and he said, you're going to be fine. And then he handed me this orange that I kept with me for the entire trip. He was like, keep this with
you.
I know. I put it in my luggage. And he was like my good luck charm. He was like, you're totally going to be fine. And he was telling me stuff about my life that was pretty on point when I was in the car. It didn't freak me out, though. Like, I felt very at peace.
I think it would make me feel safer, yeah.
It really did. And I was lucky enough. I made a friend for life, Jill Kimmel, Jimmy's sister, was on the tour with me, and I was nervous to meet her at first because she's like a tough chick from Brooklyn, and just I was like, she's either gonna love me or fucking hate me, you know? Like, it's no in between here. And she just became like a mama bear to me. She's, you know, a little older and has kids and whatever, and is so cool. The first night we were there, we landed in Spain, and she was like, we need to go to karaoke. And all of a sudden she was rapping like Snoop Dogg. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And it was just, it was one of those things where we had to fly everywhere. I think we did 13 flights over the course of the entire thing. Some flights two in one day.
Wow.
And the best part is, A, you're away from this and you're just so focused and present and you're meeting everyone. And everyone is just so grateful for you to be there. Like, there's posters of you everywhere, and they've been looking forward to this for weeks, which you don't realize, you know? And
wow, I never even thought about it like that. Yeah.
Like, this is like their big night out for the month.
Did you have to watch your humor though? I mean, considering
that was the funny thing leading up to it. I worked with Jody Miller, who runs shows, and she's a great comedian and teacher. And I cleaned up everything. They were like, everything has to be clean, which is hard because when you do stand up, like, certain punchlines hit on harder work.
Yeah.
I had a joke, which I still do, called Quiet Fucker.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The first time we did a show. Go ahead.
It's not like super dirty. It's more just all the things that go through your head when someone's just not talking during sex. Yeah. And like, as a woman, like, you just go through, it's like the laundry list.
I just turn on sound effects my own.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you have to do. Oh, you're like, Alexa.
I just keep that.
Yeah. Like, no, totally. I learned the hard way. And so, yeah, the whole joke is just a laundry list of like I need to go spray tanning. Where's my checkbook? Like all the things. So it's not really dirty. But I changed it to like quiet lover, and that just doesn't hit as well, right? No. And we get over there, and I was so nervous about only doing clean material and like really not, you know, not offending anyone or getting in trouble or getting sent home.
I couldn't do it.
And literally, the first show we did, they were like, "Oh, they love the dirty stuff. Like, just give it to them. No one cares." So they were really cool about it. Cool. You know,
well, was it mostly men or women too?
It was both. There were certain bases, and we were in Cairo, Egypt, which was really cool, but also really scary. Have any of you been to Cairo?
No. But I know people from there, and they tell me a lot.
That was the only place where we were picked up in like an armored car, and we had security with us the whole time, and we were very protected there. But the base there was awesome. Apparently, there was a lot of people from Philly, and they always had Yuengling beer shipped in. So, like, on the base, there was, like, all this Yuengling.
I know. I have family in the Poconos.
Yeah.
And my family's originally from the Philadelphia area, but my sister's Poconos. And everybody drinks that Yuengling.
They're obsessed. So, like, I felt like I was at home. But there was families there. Like, a lot of the wives from the bases, and there were some kids at certain shows. And you kind of go with it. But the coolest thing about it, which we'll probably experience at this, is it Slamdown?
Yeah.
Is that a lot of the troops afterwards would come up and be like, "I really want to do stand up." Like, aww. And we'd be like, "Start a mic on the bass, you know?
Seriously.
Like, just do it."
You find that you just can't encourage people enough that ever mention it to you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're so young. And I started doing this, 7 years ago. And it, you know, I wish I had done it years and years and years ago, because it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to make any money fast to anybody.
I was giving classes for 20 years ago, and I...
Well, because you reminded me that we worked together at La Scala. We can't mention any names. La Scala.
That was the only job I've ever been fired from in my entire life.
Everybody I know has been fired. I quit.
God, I'm so jealous.
I quit. I was sitting there in my boxers, and I put on my right sock, and I looked at my left foot, and I called Javier, and I go, "I just can't do it another day."
It was one of those. I respect that so much about you. Mine was the worst. I had just moved to Hollywood. I was a total club kid. And the night before, it was, I think, Christina Aguilera's birthday. And I was, no, Mario Lopez's birthday. And we went to Christina Aguilera's house that she was renting from Joe Francis, the owner of Girls Gone Wild. And I literally,
I would crash that party.
I think I was like still drunk. I had to work the next morning. I was still drunk when they were like, "Where are you?" I was like, "I don't care." you know? And I think our manager at the time like showed up every day smelling like vodka, which you have to drink a lot to smell like vodka.
Yeah, because vodka.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Out of your pores,
yeah.
You know?
So I was like, whatever. I was about to say,
I got fired
I'm not
for
going
eating
to.
There.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
But how I brought this whole thing up, though, is that we also worked. You were a bartender at where I still am paying the bills at Wolfgang Steakhouse. And my point being is I didn't even know you were a comic, because you're lovely. And I, you know, I'm not trying to kiss your butt or nothing.
Oh,
but
thank you.
You're lovely, and you're so quiet behind the bar.
I am.
I mean, you were great with your customers and such.
Yeah.
But as far as like anything else, and then when you said, "Why do you stand up?" I was like, "No,
you're
kidding."
Like, stop.
But then, well, no, I mean, then that show that we did with Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Over at the
Speakeasy.
The Speakeasy Comedy Group. They are so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're engaged.
Uh-huh.
Yay. Yeah. But when you got up and did your set, I was like, "God damn, where did this come from?"
Yeah,
it was great.
I think there's two types of comics. You are just funny all the time. Like, you are just a personality. You are, like, just, you are what you are. It is what it is.
You're very kind to say that, because a lot of people just think it's being annoying. But go ahead.
They're like, "He's such a dick." I'm like, "No, he's funny."
I'm like, if people go, "You're funny. An asshole." I'm like, "Well, who didn't know that?"
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
And?
Am I a funny asshole?
Yeah. But, like, you are that. And for me, I don't know. I don't know if it's more, like, I grew up doing theater and, like, acting and dancing and I had a ton of issues about body and being all that shit. And I talk about that on stage. And I think I just observe. And also, like, I was so miserable being behind the bar that, like, I just kept it quiet, which I don't do now. Now I still have to bartend sometimes.
Oh, I was gonna say, and I have at the bar. So
I do. I have my business card on me. People ask for another shot, and I'm like, if you listen to my podcast, I will give
you one.
Thank
you very much. That, you know, that's exactly how I do it too. I push myself. Yeah. I'm like, since you the second drink, yeah. I'm like, well, since you asked,
exactly. No shame in my game. Uh-uh. Like that is it.
We think alike.
So
girl.
I had to kind of flip it. I was pretty miserable when I was working.
Well,
with
the thing about it is, it's not a miserable place, but you had a miserable shift.
Well, I was there during the day when no one was there.
Yeah, and it's,
I
would, it's not a lunch. It's not a lunch
poor
bar.
Poor Bob. I would like set everything up. I would be there all day with zero customers, and Bob would come flying in, and like the bar would all of a sudden be packed, and I'd be like, hi.
If I'd known, hi. I would have started how drinking you doing? Earlier.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Well, see, that just it has nothing to do with you. That's just the
It was just the shift, and that's why I quit.
Yeah,
but it's still a great place. I love it. I need to come in.
Yeah, you should come in sometime, and you will see all the same faces are still there, though.
Mm. Perfect, yeah. So, it's and I was working there when I went overseas, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a big turning point.
Now, you're from Princeton.
I am. I'm from Princeton, New Jersey.
I mentioned my sister-in-law graduated from Princeton.
I know. That's great. I did not.
Well, I know. It's like people say, you're from Nashville. Did you go to Vanderbilt? I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah, I went to University of Rhode Island.
Really?
Yes.
There's such a place?
Apparently.
This is Michael Connelly from Rhode Island?
I think, who? No. Isn't he from Boston?
He's from Maine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's from somewhere up there.
Yeah, he's somewhere up there.
There's somebody I know that's from Rhode Island. I'm trying to think of who it is.
It'll come to you.
Peter Griffin.
There you go.
Boat shows there.
Yes. It's a hidden gem. It was a great school. Our like claim to fame, which shouldn't be a claim to fame, but right before I was there, Lamar Odom, played for the Lakers, he was there. And I was a dancer on the dance team, the Ramettes. And so that was like their Laker girls. So right before I got there, they had built this huge new stadium because March Madness, they were really, really good when I got there. So that was pretty cool. That was our claim to fame-ish.
And siblings?
So I have a brother, yes.
Just the one brother?
Yeah.
And he plays soccer?
He's a younger brother, but he's much more mature than I am. He has a real person job. He's one of the head coaches at UCLA. He's awesome.
That's right.
Yes. What he's great.
Tell us his name so we can get
soccer.
His name is soccer?
Yeah.
Now, what is his name? We're going to give him a shout out.
Oh, his name's Phil Marfuji.
Phil Marfuji. Whoa.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to get him to do The Bachelor because he's just so awesome.
Do you think you could get him to come on the Bob Dean Show?
Possibly. I mean,
that'd be fun. You could come on with your brother.
I could try to do that.
Yeah.
He hasn't done mine yet, though. So we'll see.
Come on, Phil.
Phil.
Do it for your sister.
Yes. Yeah. So
he lives here in town, so you get to see him. Are you
barely?
Folks
I mean, he might as well live in Jersey.
Right. Do you see your folks often?
They're coming out in a few weeks. They have their life is insane. They're heading out to France and Italy tomorrow.
Nice.
I know. My dad's the CEO of a cheese company. So
cool.
He's going over there. Yes. Nice. Shout out Locatelli cheese. So they're going over there and then they're coming here after. So.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So the family will be together. That's going to be nice.
Do you do jokes about your family?
Not really.
No, mm-mm,
I don't.
They're lucky.
You do some. I know. Well, yeah, I do the story about coming out to my parents on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And my mom was more upset that I told her I hated football.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that
joke. It's true. I mean, I use a little creative, what do you call it, creative license on it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's basically exactly what happened. She was like, you're my son and I love you. And then she's like, did you hear what he just said? He's talking to my dad. He hates football. Your son. How, what am I going to tell the neighbors, Bob?
Oh, I love it.
My mother, Stella, God rest her soul, who was right here in this studio, according to our psychic friend.
What?
Jennifer Diamond was on a few but 10 minutes left already? God dang it. We had a psychic on, Jennifer Diamond, and she's really a blast. And, she was unfortunately in a bad car accident when she was young, and then she was in a coma for several months. Long story short, we were talking, and she asked me about my mom, and I said, and you can watch it, the reruns of the Bob Dean, or back issues of the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
Where she said she was here with us. I said, is she here? And she goes, yeah. I was like, I can't even tell you what my first thought was.
What?
Something shameful. I'm like, oh God, I'll never be able to do that again. Anyway.
Wait. I love it. Yeah.
But Stella, my mom, she's a beauty. You guys want to play a little bit of Just Jump? Do we have time for that?
Let's do
it. Is there anything else that I'm missing that we want to talk about? The Slam Down, everybody knows about that on the 26th.
Yeah, that's cool. I have shows coming up. But
tell us when. Tell us when. And tell us how to. Tell us about your show, your podcast.
Yeah.
We want to hear that.
I just have shows coming up, and I post everything on my social media. So just look up at Jacqueline Marfuggi. That's JACLYNMARFUGGI. I post all the show dates, whatnot, like at Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, all that. And I teach classes here. I have to go to teach after this.
You were telling me, what's it called? Polygynomics?
It's called...
Polygynamics?
Ish. It's called... sure. Plyo Jam. So I'm their online fitness instructor, and I also teach in Brentwood and West Hollywood.
Well, what's it all about?
It's kind of like Zumba, but cool. Like, it's just 15 songs in a row, high cardio mixed with plyometrics, and you just follow along, and you're dancing to, like, everything from Britney Spears to Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, Beyonce.
So it's all about heart rate and that sort of thing. It's sort of like what aerobics was, but this is like this is a great granddaughter of aerobics, per se.
Pretty much. Yeah. But you just, it's like dance like a rock star, train like an athlete is pop star. Cool.
So
whatever.
If I drop dead, probably I would.
Yeah.
Well, in my aerobics class in 1980, I was asked by the instructor to please wear tighter underpants.
We
did flat backs.
You were just.
I can't go for that. No. Apparently,
letting it live.
And so tell us about your podcast. How can you listen to your podcast?
And I have to have you on.
I would love that. Thank you for asking.
I have a podcast called What's Your Jersey? And that basically is a play on words. I'm from New Jersey, so that's my jersey. So I find out where my guests are from, how they got to where they are, and we talk a little sports, and we relate sports to, you know, reality TV show storylines or like just anything that you could understand. And I've had some pretty cool people. I recently had Perez Hilton on. I had Drew Carter, who's an NFL athlete. I've had psychics. I've had actors, comedians, just all these cool people. So, yeah.
I've got a basketball player I could recommend for you that comes into the bar now. Yes. I'm not going to mention any names because, you know, you may say no, but.
No, I would love that.
Yeah, he's really cool.
So, yeah, it's really fun.
And how can we find it? How the Bob Dean audience find the Jacqueline Marfuggi?
It's What's Your Jersey? You can find it on iTunes and Audio Boom Network.
iTunes, just like the Bob Dean show.
Thank you.
And Audio Boom.
Yeah.
And you can also find us on iHeartRadio. So, Audio Boom, iHeartRadio,
both
on iTunes.
That's awesome.
Yay. Let's play a little Just Jump. Now, you know, we play Just Jump. Uh-huh. This is the 1957 Amy Venerable Etiquette Guide, and Mr. Olson reads questions, and the three of us try to come up with the right answer
of a
60-year-old etiquette.
Oh, God.
How much may a lady put on makeup in public?
Zero.
How much may a lady put on makeup in public?
Lipstick?
I say zero, too.
Yeah. You're not supposed to.
Making up in public is much more relaxed of recent years. However, anything too technical in the matter of making up, hair combing, mascara applying, painting on of lips.
Sorry, you can do it. I can do it blindfolded.
And catch it with your boobs.
Yeah.
Application of cake makeup are all taboo. A light dusting of powder and an unobtrusive reapplication of lipstick are acceptable.
That's all I do.
And usual in a public place.
Look so that's why in all the old movies it's okay to take out. Do you guys still carry compact?
Yeah.
Do you?
I carry
them. Last week we went out for Dennis's birthday dinner after here, and we went to Wolfgang's, and I was making a little video. I don't know if you've seen it on my Facebook thing.
No.
But it was just a little, like, 20-second thing, and right at the end she's
I have my lipstick holding it in my mouth
and it went
open
right down in her cleavage. It's hilarious.
Oh my God, I have to watch that.
Yeah. Okay, let's have another question, Dennis. I love this game.
This is fun.
Okay. I'm one of those people who never forget a face, but cannot master the art of remembering names. Is there a tactful way of handling a social problem like this?
To repeat the name when you hear it?
Well, if you forgot the name.
Yeah.
That's what they
like. I forgot my husband's
name. You remember a face, but you forgot the name. How? What do you do?
Well, like every time we go out in public, I'm like, if I don't introduce you immediately, that means you
have to say hello. Yeah, that's what I always say.
You don't want to be rude, but especially since we meet so many damn people.
So many people.
Because we're such celebrities.
I remember birthmarks.
Oh.
This is mine. I'm not doing coke, y'all.
You can introduce them to someone else. But don't just be like, oh my God, have you met so and so? And then let
and hope that so and so gets on that right away.
Still don't do it.
Right. Okay. So
and then you're just
that's your answer. My answer is I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Which is
I like that.
No, your answer is always, hey, introduce yourself to the guy and find out what his name is. All right.
And do you have a solid answer?
I think it's, I would say introduce yourself. That's what I would do. Excuse me, what was your name again? I don't know.
Yeah. What does Miss Vanderbilt say?
I don't know.
Miss Vanderbilt says, if you are warmly greeted by someone whose name you can't recall, say something harmless, such as, nice to see you, and you're looking well.
Oh, yeah.
While looking attentive, let the other person do the talking until he or she gives you a clue to his identity. Your own expression should always indicate that you remember him well and favorably. No one is ever pleased if you say, I know your face, but I can't recall your name. If you have trouble remembering the names that match the faces, always help the other person who is probably suffering from the same thing. Never say, do you remember me? Instead, in greeting people, identify yourself quickly and gracefully. How do you do? I'm Joseph Bai. It is more tactful and modest to assume that you are not remembered than to presume that you are.
That's something I learned from my folks, too.
But some people don't do that.
But if I had a nickel for every time, years ago, of course, when I'd be at a party and I'd introduce myself, and especially women would be like, I've met you like 10 times. And they'd be discussing about
it. I hate that.
Well, it's because I was always so smashed
at
these parties.
Did I sleep with you?
That's how you got your Bill Cosby autograph book.
Oh, yeah.
We have time for one more question? Yay. We have time for one more?
I'm allergic to cigarette smoke and I get asthma.
Next. We should all be allowed to smoke inside. If you don't like it, you go outside.
Exactly.
I hope I didn't lose any listeners. Go back. Let's just hear the question. I'm sorry, Dennis.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I'm allergic to cigarette smoke and I get asthma. This is 57, so we'll see what they thought then.
Perfect.
I'm allergic to cigarette smoke and I get asthma if I'm exposed to it. Even sharing an elevator with someone who is smoking starts me coughing. What bothers me most is that one of the girls at work smokes. She sits near me and must know that it bothers me, but she never volunteered to go out to the restroom for her hourly cigarette. I would like to be polite, but when one is allergic, this is about as ridiculous as saying that one wants to be polite to a maniac who has hands in a stranglehold on one's throat.
So, that was long, Dennis.
Yeah.
So what is she? And so, was that it?
Yeah.
But her question is, how do you
really sound like a question? Do you mind if I smoke?
It's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah. I'll
just read on. What she says is, your problem is difficult, one hard to work out with the full cooperation of other people, especially those whom you don't know well enough to ask such a favor. Many allergics find ways to avoid things that bother them without too much social discomfort, or else they have medication they can take when they happen to run into foods or atmospheric conditions that are bothersome.
Yeah. Well, in other words, it doesn't matter now because we can't smoke anywhere.
Right.
We can vape.
On my roof, you can.
You can. All right.
I smoke inside my home.
They already caught one on fire. One of the things.
Well, I still smoke inside, but I have to close the door and put duct tape around the frame so the guy across the hall doesn't have a conniption for it.
It's bad. Yeah. I really know. Towels under the doors.
I guess that's it for the Bob Dean Show, y'all.
Yay.
I want to thank the lovely Kathy St. George, and I know I always drag you for being late, but you do, as Jacqueline pointed out, it's a trek to come. If you guys that listen in other places, you don't know what Los Angeles traffic is like. And so thanks for coming. I'm sorry I rag on you for being late.
No, it's okay, because I really don't like to be.
That's all right.
I'm so happy you're here.
I mean, if I was getting late and I was late, it'd be okay, but it wasn't. It was traffic.
You know what my best excuse is? The neighbors are moving and the van has me blocked.
Oh, it's a good one. I need to use that.
Yeah, you didn't hear that from me, y'all, though. Thank you, Jacqueline, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I've been trying to get together with you for a long time. We need to get together and get to a show together and do that. Seriously, if we can find out how much it is to rent the room out here, maybe you and I can host our own
Let's do another charity show.
That'd be great.
Right?
Kathy St. George Charity.
Oh,
That'd
my God.
So good.
Oh, look, it's all happening. Perfect. I would love that.
And thank you, Dennis, for being our guest and the Just Jump host. We need to get some theme music for that.
Just jump.
Well, actually, my friend Julia used to say, I pushed her. Because she comes from a very old Southern family and Southern money. And Julia, who I want to
say,
she's just a darling, and she's a darling, and she is just so politically. I called her the other day. I'd say this to them, we got to go. My friend Julia is so outrageous, outrageous and just the epitome of, she was sort of like a Julia Sugarbaker character from Designing Women.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were at this, and this is back when in my yuppie scum phase from 87 to 90 when I had a real job and wore suits and all that sort of thing. And we all would meet at the Sailmaker on Fridays for happy hour. And this is what shoulder pads and all that shit were in. And she had some kind of job where she was all made up and everything. And she lived right around the corner on Woodmont Boulevard. She said, I'm going to go home and change real quick. And she came back and she was wearing a nightgown. Oh, with shoulder pads and a big belt with a buckle, and she's smoking a cigarette, drinking a martini with this flannel nightgown. And I'm like, oh, you in a nightgown? She's like, I certainly am.
Goals. Yes. I'm going to do that on Friday.
Seriously. And just, you know what? Start your own fashion.
All right.
Love y'all. Thank you very much. Please listen to us on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Watch us on YouTube. Thanks to Joe White. And please encourage your friends.
Thank you, Sammy
Junio to you. Sammy Junio, everybody.
Sammy Junio.
And Joe White. Sammy Junio and Joe White, too. Thanks, y'all. That's it for today. Yay.